Hey everyone, it's Rich. One night, at the beginning of the COVID pandemic, I was sitting on my sofa, collecting my thoughts, not really sure what the future would bring. I was newly single, and like a lot of people, suddenly had all this free time on my hands. So I did what any rational thinking person would do. I downloaded Tinder. After creating the best version of myself, I entered my credit card info, and just like that, I was swimming in a pool of women looking for love. At first, I couldn't believe how many matches I was getting. I started high-fiving myself. But by the end of the week, once I really got the hang of chatting within the app, a theme was emerging, and it had little to do with love. Several women attempted to sell me pictures of their feet. Not sure what that was about, but I passed. Of course, there were the OnlyFans types who were more than willing to bear it all for a modest monthly fee. Then there were the Bitcoin scammers. The story usually went something like this. I'm in the fashion business, you know, a little import-export. Very ambitious, just haven't found my Prince Charming yet. Oh, and I'm into crypto. Would you like to buy some? I ran into some Forex fraudsters too, but pretty much the same shtick. Then there were the sugar babies, who were not all as young as you might think. From their perspective, love was possible, as long as I send them $1,000 a month. One told me she was an aspiring model but needed a place to live and would love to move in with me ASAP. To get to know me better, she offered to swing by my place the next morning to work out in my home gym. I ghosted her. Yes, dating app charlatans are pervasive, much more so than the companies running them are willing to admit. I did find the experience both amusing and disheartening. While I never let anyone actually take advantage of me, the people featured in this episode were not so lucky. If you're playing the dating game, please take care of yourself out there. You're listening to Privacy Files. This episode is brought to you by Anonymy Labs, makers of MySudo, the world's only all-in-one privacy app, and Sudo Platform, the cloud-based platform companies turn to for seamlessly integrating identity protection solutions into their software. And have you heard about the MySudo web browser extension? Breaking your online data trail just got way easier. To learn more, visit mysudo.com. That's mysudo.com. Hello, everybody. We've got Chris Sula.
Hello.
And we've got Sydney.
Hi.
And we've got Maddie.
Hello, everyone.
And it's time for another episode of our true crime series. And just so everybody knows, you don't know what's coming.
Yeah, we do not.
No preparation, right?
Nope.
True reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And your thoughts at any point in time. Feel free to interject and tell us what you're thinking. Okay? So, dating apps. We've heard a lot about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've had experience being on dating apps. There's a lot of crazy stuff that does go on. And this story is interesting because I did spend about 11 days in Colombia in December. And so what's been going on over the last few months is there have been at least 8 American tourists who've been murdered, killed, maybe they just died. We don't know, but related to using dating apps in Colombia. So there is a kind of a notice or a warning from the U.S. State Department. Careful, you might not want to go to Colombia, especially if you're using dating apps. So with that said, this story is from the BBC, and it's from January 20th of 2024, and it's titled Drugged, Robbed, Killed.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a great title.
Yeah. Well, this is not meant to be uplifting. But it's called The City Catching U.S. Tourists in Dating Trap. Tu Ger Jong loved coming back to Colombia. He talked about the high-spirited people just enjoying life, his brother A. Jong told BBC News. He even picked up Spanish. Quote, it never even crossed his mind that he would end up in a tragic incident this way.
Tugger, 50, was a Hmong American activist or community activist and comedian from Minnesota. Prior to his most recent trip to Medellin in Colombia, he had been speaking to a woman online. A few weeks into his two-month visit in mid-December 2023, he called his brother and asked him for $2,000 but didn't say what it was for or that anything was wrong. A said he would transfer the money. He never heard from his brother again. The next day, police found Tugger's body in a remote wooded area of the city. A friend in Medellin explained to A that his brother had been kidnapped and held at gunpoint for the $2,000 ransom. Quote, I did not want to believe it. I didn't know if it was really happening, A said. My heart just sank. A scrambled to contact the U.S. Embassy, who confirmed it was his brother's body. Colombian police this week arrested a woman and two men linked to his death, charging them with kidnapping and murder. Now, it's not clear whether he first met the woman through a dating app or through friends, but his death is one of eight in Medellin that prompted a warning from the U.S. Embassy about the risks of using dating apps. All eight victims were Americans who died in suspicious circumstances in November and December. The U.S. State Department said it was aware of a gang in the city that previously used dating apps to isolate victims before abducting and killing them, but it's unclear if a gang was behind the U.S. deaths. In the first 10 months of 2023, Medellin's Tourism Observatory had already recorded 32 violent killings of foreigners in the city, including at least 12 Americans and three from the United Kingdom, a 40% increase from the previous year. Jeff Hewitt was found, quote, lying dead in a pool of blood in his Medellin hotel room. His friends wrote online describing him as an easygoing, wry, kind spirit, end quote, an apparent victim of a, quote, robbery gone bad, end quote. Another one was Johnny Jerome, who was killed on his 45th birthday. Philip Mullins was drugged and died of an overdose, according to local media reports. The embassy says several of these cases began with a dating app used to lure victims, part of a concerning increase in people who end up drugged, robbed, and even killed by their Colombian dates. Neither Tinder nor Bumble, both popular in the city, would comment. What do you think so far?
He has a great brother to transfer all that money without asking any questions first off.
Sounds like love is not worth it.
Sounds
avoid
like,
the dating apps.
Yeah, there's some scary stuff going on in Colombia right now.
Mm. I mean, I know as someone who's used dating apps in the past that it's so bad. It's literally like maybe 1 in 10, 1 in 20 are doing something that they shouldn't be doing. For instance, Bumble has this feature where it's supposedly verifying you. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of people who have been verified who are still scammers. Because all you have to do to get verified on Bumble is you literally just take a picture of yourself and that's it.
So it just verifies it with your ID or do you not have to even do that?
Well, so you're loading pictures, of course, right? You load pictures to your profile and then at the end it asks you to take a picture of yourself to make sure those pictures match who you are. But that could be anybody,
yeah.
Right.
I could just hire somebody, I could pay them a few bucks and say, hey, I need to take some pictures of you. And then I need you to verify that it's yourself by having me take a picture with the app. But that's it. I mean, that's not really that secure.
Yeah. Scammers are smarter than that, sadly.
Yeah. So I've encountered many who the end result, I think, in most cases that I saw was they just were trying to get money out of you.
But how do they target these people? Why these people specifically? Did they have a lot of money or they just kind of randomly choose them off the app? That's why I don't really understand.
I think there's something to this because they're American tourists, right? So for instance, on Bumble, you can use a feature called travel mode. If, for instance, you can be in the United States and you can turn on travel mode and go to anywhere, Colombia, you can choose Medellin, you can use Cartagena, whatever you want. If you travel to Medellin, for instance, in Colombia, but you created your dating app on Bumble, let's say in the United States, it will show that your original location is the United States. Mm-hmm. So they might be targeting you based upon that alone and just thinking by default, you're probably wealthy or at least you have
wealthier,
more money than the common person who's there. For that to be worth it, maybe, hey, if you've got $1,000 in your pocket or whatever, because people are traveling down there, of course, they do a lot of currency exchange, so they can pay for things on the street. I mean, credit cards are still widely used, but if you're dealing with somebody selling like something like a street vendor or whatever, then that's probably common.
Yeah. Easy target.
Yeah. Scary. Really
and how
scary.
Many did they travel to meet their date versus how many were just there visiting? Because it sounds like a lot of them were there by themselves.
Yeah. I mean, the way it's saying, it sounds like these are all American tourists.
Just have ties through a dating app somehow, some way. That's kind of how it happened.
Yeah. I mean, with Bumble, I mean, it's pretty much around the world. Venezuela, anywhere in Europe. You can go to Russia, for instance, Asia. Everywhere you pretty much go, there's a group of people who are on there.
Does Bumble track your location, like specific location or just country? So is that how they find, like Sydney was saying, I don't know if they met them and that's how they kind of found them to hurt them or kill them. Or did they find them by their location through the app? Because the guy that was in the hotel room, it was a robbery gone wrong. So did he meet his date there or how did they find his location?
How do they know? I think in most of these cases, they say, hey, come meet me at a restaurant.
Okay, so they did.
Or come meet me at a public area where there's a lot of people in traffic. But and there's some other stories we could go into if we've got time, but they clearly lure you back to an apartment or someplace where you can't really get help.
Or I wonder if while you're on the date, they say, oh, where are you staying? And they have someone that's working with them breaking into your apartment at the same time.
It's like the movie Taken. They're like, oh, do you want to come to a party? Where are you girls staying? And then they find out where they're staying, and then they knew they were from America, and they came and did a lot.
Are most the victims men? It sounded like a lot of them were men named.
Yeah, I think so. Although it is common, too, for females to be, of course, cornered as well. I mean, it's dangerous. I mean, let's be honest. It can be very dangerous being strangers. Like, I visited Mexico City a couple of times last year, and while I was there, I did use Bumble and Tinder. And they would tell you up front on these dates, they were like, it's dangerous in this city. And several times during the date, they were being contacted by friends and family, like making sure they were okay. Even taking an Uber back to their place at night is like dangerous. So like, make sure you follow me, because I would get them an Uber back to their place. And then I would be watching to see where the Uber was traveling. I mean, it's a terrible way to live when you think about it. But you're vulnerable for sure.
Yeah, I bring that up because I feel like women are trained a lot of the time through their friends. They're always like, text me when you get to the restaurant, text me when you get home. But I feel like men aren't aware of all those like safety measures you have to take because they're just not as trained socially to do it.
Which is unfortunate that like women have to deal with that. But I guess in these situations, like Sydney said, maybe at least we know what to do, unlike men.
I think a lot of times I think guys are just naive. Right. Just like, oh, I can handle whatever. And then until somebody pulls a weapon or whatever, and then that changes the game. But
you don't hear stories happening about them as much. I think that's the whole point. It's when you usually hear these stories, it is with women. So they're like, it's not going to happen to me. That mentality.
Let's take a quick break for this message from our sponsor.
Hey, man. So I've been swiping lately. And there's this Russian model I matched with. Her name's Natasha.
Okay.
And we've been chatting for a while. She said she wants to come see me, but she said she needs some crypto for her plane ticket to come.
Wait. Crypto and a plane ticket? You're probably getting catfished, man.
No way, dude. She totally wants me.
I mean, we'll see.
Hey, I just got a notification. She said, hold on one sec. She said that she wants to keep chatting off the app. What do you think?
I don't know, man. I just use my pseudo.
You sure?
Yeah, man. Stay safe. Use my pseudo.
Don't let privacy concerns dampen your spirit of love. Download My Pseudo now at mypseudo.com and date with confidence. Secure love is in the air. Stay private.
Okay, let's continue on this article. So Carlos, I think it's Calle. This little Spanish here, so I'm still working on that. The former director of the city's tourism observatory said it's common for criminals to drug tourists with scopolamine. I have no idea how to say this drug. It's an odorless substance known as devil's breath. Doesn't sound too appealing. The U.S. Embassy also warned about the drug, which sedates victims for up to 24 hours.
Wow.
So Kaye says there's a negative profile of the tourist in the city that looks for a certain type of opportunity. It's usually related to sex work. So you can imagine, we can draw some conclusions about maybe, there's always more to the story, right? So what were these guys really up to? I mean, again, it doesn't matter where you travel in the world, you use the same common sense, right? I don't care if it's Los Angeles or Cartagena or Moscow. It's like, you just got to be careful what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, don't be stumbling around intoxicated on the streets at 2 a.m. by yourself. I mean, you're just asking for trouble. So a spokesperson for the Tourism Observatory confirmed that the majority of victims last year were men, but added that many cases are still under investigation. Prostitution is legal in Colombia and widespread in tourism hotspots like the cities of Medellin and Cartagena, but there's nothing to suggest the men killed were using prostitutes. Alok Shah, 36, thinks scopolamine is what caused his vision to go sideways when he brought a woman back to his hotel room in late 2022. It was like his short-term memory was disappearing, he said. The Texas resident had matched with a Colombian woman in her mid-20s on Tinder. They first went out for coffee, but Shaw later decided to buy beers and bring her to his hotel.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And of course, there's probably people watching and following.
Yeah.
Right.
He says he hadn't felt unsafe during his previous frequent visits to Medellin, or like prostitution was as prevalent when he first came in 2017. But he knew women were a draw to the city. Quote, if you're a single guy, the women are very lovely here, a friend had told him. So again, you become vulnerable, right? It just screws with your mind. You're like, yeah. Oh, it's like you hear the stories of Americans in San Diego that go down to Tijuana or whatever. It's like, let's party.
Right.
And then, whoops, you make mistakes. And before you know it, you're in a little pokey. You're in the jail for a couple of nights. Before his watch, jacket, and $200 in cash disappeared that night, he remembers his date rubbing a powder on his neck.
Oh my gosh.
You would think you would just stop.
That would be a red flag right there.
Let me put some magic potion.
She's like,
on
no, this is normal.
Is that pixie dust?
This will make the night much more fun.
But he stayed conscious enough to realize something was wrong, threatening to call the police and chasing her away. Quote, I generally don't interact with the locals there now, he said. There's just too much danger. There's too much risk. The new U.S. embassy notice recommends that citizens avoid taking dates to private places like hotels, plus inform friends, family, or building staff about who they're with, and don't resist a robbery because that could be fatal.
So this guy didn't get killed.
Yeah, and there's actually many more stories about where people had these issues and they got away.
That's okay. Well, not good, but I'm just glad he didn't die.
Yeah, hopefully they learned their lesson, though. And I'm sure there's more to the story, too. Like, there's probably warning signs. Like, you could see. I know there's a hookup culture, but like, if somebody's like, hey, come over to my place, and I just literally start talking to you on a dating app today.
Right, but he probably thinks it's safe because he's going back to his apartment, not hers. Like, he's in control of the story. Hey, I'm inviting you back. You know, in his mind, it's going great until they're there.
It's kind of the message, too, I think, with privacy in general and security is a lot of it is in your hands. I mean, the technology is not going to do it all for you. Like, if you make stupid decisions.
Can't help you there.
Yeah. So continuing on the story, it says Medellin's city police would not comment on the recent increase in violent deaths and referred BBC News to the mayor's office. Quote, we want more and more foreigners to come to the city, said Mayor Federico Gutierrez, but added that tourists coming purely for sex and drugs were not welcome. He said he's directed the police to crack down on what he says is a related underlying issue, the sex trafficking of minors. Police have been directed to begin special interventions in the neighborhoods where tourism is most prominent, a spokesman for the mayor told BBC News, including the popular nightlife area called El Poblado. I will stay away from that area. More than 1.4 million foreigners visited the city as tourists in 2022. So they're talking about Medellin. A new record over previous years, and over a quarter were American, according to statistics released by the mayor's office. The numbers for 2023 are expected to be even higher, partly because Medellin has become a top destination for remote workers. That's true. There's a lot of people just working overseas now because the cost of living is so cheap, like 30, 40 cents on the US dollar.
Wow.
So again, I was in Bogota. It's a nice city. I didn't feel really unsafe. Cheap. I mean, you can get amazing Michelin star restaurant type meals for like half of what it would be here.
Wow.
People are friendly. The service was amazing. I mean, I never felt unsafe, but yeah, I can see the attraction of why a lot of Westerners would work abroad over there. So as we wrap this up, last week, A. Zhang came to Medellin himself for the first time to carry out a Hmong tradition by calling his brother's spirits back home. Quote, we're not mad at the people of Colombia. He said, I truly believe that he would have forgiven the people who did that to him. He added, talking about Tugur, he had this quick wit, fearlessness that believes in the goodness of all people. But just don't be naive, though. That's the thing. I tend to go too far. I'm very skeptical and always cautious. And it's terrible to be like that because a lot of times it takes away from the enjoyment of travel. But hey, it only takes one time and you only die once, right?
Gosh.
Yeah. One way to look at it.
Yeah. But I guess you only live once, too.
That is true. Thoughts? What do you think? What would you do differently?
YOLO, Rich. Just kidding.
YOLO.
I feel like when you're just out of your element, even if you feel comfortable traveling, I feel like I've traveled a lot, but you just always have to be on extra alert because there might be a language barrier. People could be talking right in front of you in a language you don't understand. You just have to be more on your guard when you're out of your natural element.
Yeah, that's true. And also do research before. Like, I bet there have been articles maybe about this before. And so maybe just kind of keep your guard up and kind of know the signs when you do go to a new place or new country. I think
especially with relationships, have that different guard in relationships. It's almost like you don't want to have a guard up because you're excited to meet someone new and do all these new things. So you're kind of not thinking, oh, this is going to be bad. So you need to have that awareness even when you are dating.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think for me, it took about 6 months to realize just how prevalent the scams are on these dating apps. Because at the beginning, I was like, there's no way. It can't be this bad, right? But it really is. But over time, you start noticing like the small things. Like, for instance, if the responses are too robotic, you know, when you're on the app doing the texting back and forth and like they're not really asking you questions, like, they're not really trying to get to know you, right? Yeah. It just goes to straight. Like, we talked about this when we did the dating episode last year, the concept of foodie call, which is primarily females who just look to match with guys on dating apps. And then suggest going to really fancy steak dinner restaurants or something and have no intention of having any kind of relationship at all, right? And so that's pretty common. But you can tell right away because they're not asking you questions about, hey, so how long have you lived here?
Yeah, they're like, where are we going to dinner?
Yeah, it's just like, here's a link to this fancy restaurant. Okay, so
You're like, all right, that aside, what do you like to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, eat at this restaurant. Yeah,
that's all I like to do.
But it's common sense, right? You would think.
Right.
So that's a good sign right there, or very short answers, right? Because they're doing this with other people, multiple people at the same time. So they're carrying on all these conversations. And if you ever looked at the statistics on dating apps, I mean, women get like 100,000 times the number of likes as a guy does, right? It's very lopsided. So it's easy prey if you're just creating a fake profile. Like, okay, it's easy to find somebody that way. It's truly like fishing, but it's way too easy.
And it's hard too, because you hear these stories of real relationships that come from dating apps. So people are like, no, it does work, but you just have to go through all these fake people and all these scams and hope that you find someone that is real. And I think it's hard because people know there is that possibility. So there are real people going into it. And sometimes they might get catfished and it's the whole cycle, or they're just scammers. And it is sad because they're just preying on people's love. You know, they want to have a relationship.
Want human connection. So it's sad.
Yeah. And if they're asking you to get off the dating app right away, bad sign. At some point they will, and that's okay if it's been a week or so, but usually because they're working with so many different people to try to scam at one time, they don't care, right? So they're just like, okay, well, if you're smart enough to know that after the second day that I'm trying to get you off the app and trying to scam you, they're like, they block you.
Where do they try to get you off the app, or what do they do?
Any of your common apps that you can think of out there. I mean,
they just say WhatsApp, let's take this,
Snapchat, all these other apps,
let's take this off the app. That's all they say.
Yeah, that's where they go, and they do it right away. But again, it's like, because for every 100 guys that are like, oh, I can feel that this is going in the wrong direction, there's 1,000 of them that are like, okay, let's go. And they've got them. It's a matter of time, right? The scammer doesn't want to take forever to build this up and get to the end where they're trying to ask you for money. A lot of it is like, I've got this crypto investment thing that I want to talk to you about, or I've got a great idea about how you can invest in this business overseas. The scams, they all over time, they become the same thing. Mm-hmm. And they'll even say, one of the most common reasons for taking you off the app is they'll say something to the effect of, well, I don't come on here very much. It's a lot of work. I don't really understand the app. It's so confusing for me. It's like, am I that stupid? But it's the same. It's almost like they all have the same script.
Right.
Okay. So with that said, I'm going to jump into another story. When we wrap this whole thing up, we're going to talk about some key reasons to not be on dating apps. And there's plenty, believe me. So that was Colombia, international dating. Let's bring it home. So this took place, I think it was a little over a year ago. So this was October, September, in that time frame. And this took place in Colorado. So this is from the Sacramento Bee. And the headline, I think it says it all. Woman duct tapes and cuts her Tinder date, then orders DoorDash.
Oh my gosh.
That just sounds made up.
So here we go. A woman in Colorado Springs, Colorado, was charged with multiple felonies after she was accused of duct taping, cutting, and choking a man she met on Tinder, according to police. Lauren Mary Dooley, 22, met the victim on Tinder, and they made an agreement that he would go to her apartment on September 28th, according to an affidavit obtained by WKRC and Law and Crime, which I think is a popular YouTube channel. McClatchy News has reached out to the Colorado Springs Police Department requesting a copy of the affidavit. Colorado Springs Police Department officers were dispatched to Ecache La Poudre Street. That's always the Spanish names. I just can't pronounce. I'm sorry. Outside of Colorado Springs after reports of, quote, unknown call for service, end quote, according to the document. The 911 operator could hear a man later identified as the victim on the open line saying he was bleeding and telling someone, because you cut me and you're going to kill me, according to the affidavit. Dooley and the victim were engaging in a sex act on the couch before she proceeded to duct tape his wrists and ankles together, the victim told officers, according to the document. He, quote, found it odd, but consented to it, end quote. So after Dooley got a knife from the kitchen and told the victim to go to her room, the document said, he no longer wanted to be in the residence. So now he's like, I'm opting out. Don't even know why he got this far.
Yeah, red flag already.
Wait,
happened,
she told him she was going to duct tape him, or it just...
Yeah, well, this was kind of part of the thing, right? They were doing this whatever, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, great. This is awesome. How exciting.
This is fun.
You're duct taping me. This is exactly what I wanted, right? So, because at first I'm thinking, okay, how is she going to be able to overpower him and do this? And because he was going along with it.
Yeah,
he didn't know it was taking a turn this way, right?
Okay.
Yeah, but if you just met someone, I still think that's a red flag.
Yeah, you just meet them and they say duct tape.
Yeah,
and you're
whatever,
like,
you want to try new things or whatever you want to do. But with someone who is you just met, that is like a movie. Like, you're like, okay, horror movie right there. No.
I mean, but according to this, it's like, hey, it's 2022. Times have changed. Nope.
If she didn't establish a safe word with him at the beginning, that's the biggest red flag.
True.
So they quote here, fearing Dooley would harm him with the knife, he obeyed and got into her bed. Dooley climbed on top of him and proceeded to use the knife to cut his left shoulder, according to the affidavit. She applied pressure on his throat, making it difficult for him to breathe, according to the document. She then got a belt, tied it around his neck, and applied pressure for 20 seconds.
Oh, Dooley.
Well, he's still here, I guess. So.
Yeah, this is just nuts. So after the victim started to bleed on Dooley's bed, she demanded that he go to the bathtub, according to the doctor.
God forbid.
And clean up?
Yeah, God forbid.
She's like, how dare you?
She then,
bleeding on my bed.
After she got him off the bed into the bathtub, she ordered food with DoorDash.
That just shows
her
mental state.
It just sounds like this story was created on ChatGPT.
And then gave him a nice little warning saying, quote, if you scream or say anything, I'll kill you.
Hmm. Oh.
After Dooley finished eating.
Oh, my God. She just got her guy bleeding in her bathtub and she's eating Chick-fil-A. Like, what?
She fell asleep and the victim was able to get the knife and free himself from the duct tape. As he was trying to leave, he woke Dooley by bumping into a table and ran to the parking lot to try and get help. After officials arrived at the scene, they saw the naked male victim in the parking lot bleeding from a cut on the left arm and backing away from Dooley, according to the document. Officials saw that he had blood smeared on her arms and hands, and according to police, the victim was held against his will for over 5 hours.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
So Dooley has been accused of second-degree kidnapping. There's no update. I haven't really seen anything on that regarding the story, but menacing, false imprisonment, and 2 counts of assault in the second degree. So, yeah. I don't know what happened to it. I didn't really follow up on it, but...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just makes you think, in the kidnapper's view, I'm like, what makes you think today is the day I'm going to kidnap a random man and do this? Like, I just don't get it. I'm like, why? Why did you want to do this to this person when you just met them? I mean, in general, you should not do it. But I just don't get how they choose their victims and why they do it.
And like, what's the end goal?
Yeah.
Like,
you just want to kill him?
Yeah.
You don't know him.
You'd have to keep him forever or kill him if you're going to get away with it.
Like, I think that's the whole point. You never know what someone is capable of doing, what they're thinking. You know what I mean? What their personality is or not, good or bad. But that's why you have to be so careful with situations like this or dating apps or any of that, because it could lead to this. As extreme, as made up as it sounds. Because it's crazy, but it happens. And I'm sure there's crazier stories out there, but it's the whole point of you need to be careful.
Yeah. The minute you tell me you're going to start wrapping me in duct tape. Again, I think this is a tough one, right? But it's common sense. Common sense. Gosh. But again, I think the tie back, you know, obviously to overall privacy is you have to take some ownership of this too, right?
Right.
I mean, the technology is not going to prevent you from making stupid decisions. So, wow. Well, he's lucky to be alive.
Yeah. That honestly was a horror movie when she was like, he bumped her or something on the way out, like, or made a noise. Like, yeah. You're trying to escape and then you do a noise.
Yeah. It's like when you're on the edge of your seat.
Yeah.
Run, buddy. Run.
Yeah. I was thinking that.
And they fall down and then the monster gets like, closer.
Oh my God, they're coming. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Drama. Okay, so we're going to do one more, and then we're going to talk about some of the reasons to not be on dating apps.
I think all we have been doing is talk about the reasons not to be on dating apps.
Well, obviously, but okay. Some of them, these are pretty clear. Has everybody heard of the Tinder swindler?
No.
Yes. Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I guess I am the only one who has not.
Anybody watch the Netflix?
No, I didn't.
No?
I got the synopsis from my mom.
All right, we'll go through this really quickly. So this one is probably one of the most famous ones. I did not watch the Netflix documentary, if you will, but it's bad. So this is from Esquire, and this goes back a few years. This is 2022. So on their first date back in January 2018, Simon Leviev took Cecilia Fialoy. Oh, boy. Yeah, butchering it, but you get the idea. He took her on a private plane from London to Bulgaria just for a night.
Oh, my.
Wow. They had met on Tinder, and after a coffee date at his hotel, he expressed regret that he had to leave for a business trip. Oh, what a shame. But maybe she'd like to join him. So she Googled her date, and he was the son of the, quote, king of diamonds, Lev Leviev, a famed Russian-Israeli diamond oligarch. She quickly went home and packed a bag while his driver waited. It was the beginning of a whirlwind relationship that would ultimately leave her heartbroken, deceived, and more than $200,000 in debt. So this, again, this was featured in a Netflix true crime documentary, The Tinder Swindler. So born Shimon Hayut in Bnei Brak, a city just east of Tel Aviv, Simon Leviev did change his name, but in fact had no relation to the Israeli diamond tycoon family whatsoever. He initially fled Israel in 2011 to avoid going to trial for fraud-related crimes he'd committed in his early 20s and headed to Finland, where he reportedly began running the scheme now outlined in Netflix, you know, documentary. So in 2015, he served 2 years in Finnish prison after swindling three women, and upon his release in 2017, he went back to Israel. Before he could be arrested, he escaped again, heading back to Europe, where the Tinder swindler story picks up with Cecilia's story. So the scheme, according to the next Netflix doc, was as follows. So he would meet women on Tinder. He would lead them to believe he was a wealthy heir working in the dangerous diamond business and begin long-distance relationships, all the while he was traveling for work and living lavishly on the dime of his previous target. So he's like, he's running a Ponzi scheme in the world of dating. He's using money from others to fund
his next date.
Yeah. So after he'd been dating one woman for a while, he'd explain that he was in danger, send videos of his bodyguard bleeding, and tell his girlfriend that he needed to use a credit card in someone else's name so he couldn't be tracked. According to the film, his girlfriend sent credit cards, took out loans and lines of credit, and even flew suitcases of withdrawn cash to him in his time of need.
It's terrible.
So he promised that he'd pay them back. Of course, they believed him.
Right. I mean, he's the son of the king of diamonds. How could they not?
The prince, yeah.
Wow.
So he flew private everywhere. He stayed at the fanciest hotels and was always dripping in designer clothing, as they say. He did pay them back with checks that bounced.
Oh. I was like, oh.
So they think, oh, he's serious.
And fake watches.
Oh.
and bank transfers that never went through. So little did each woman know that all his wealth they bore witness to had been paid for by the woman who came before.
Oh, wow. Gosh.
I mean, that's the craziest example of a Ponzi scheme ever.
And then he probably says, they like did it on their own, you know, like it's not my fault. Gosh.
Yeah. Anybody here have been on dating apps?
No.
No.
No?
No.
You are very fortunate.
I know my friends in the dating world say that. I don't know if I could do it now.
Yeah. I mean, I think you know people, right? Crisola, yeah. Maddie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That have, what's their experiences? What's the overall, what's their take?
I know some people who have had good experiences and have met really great people. Then you also hear there's some crappy people out there or just fake and people are just looking to hook up or I don't know. It's just a mess out there. I think the people who have lucked out are very lucky, it sounds like, especially with all these stories. But
and yeah. I know that in some larger cities, there's been forums started where women post and they say, hey, I matched with this guy. Does anyone have any experience? And sometimes it's lovely where people are like, oh, I matched him. We went to coffee a couple times. He was great. Or other times where people are like, do not even go near that That's man nice because of X, Y, and Z, which I think someone is actually suing. I can't remember if it's Reddit, because he was listed and he had some negative things said about him. And now he's suing for defamation or something like that. But I feel like people are starting to establish some forums to look out for each other.
Yeah.
But once again, I feel like all those protections are focused a lot on women. And so mm-hmm. that's where I feel like men are sometimes left vulnerable because they don't have like the community like that.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wow.
And of course, this was written, this story in Esquire was written back in 2022. And at the time it said Simon was a free man. He was in Israel and was currently at the time dating Israeli model Kate Conlon. So it's just some people just like they can be total crooks and they just still continue to live like.
Yeah.
How do you care. Do that? I don't know.
No conscience.
It's like the Wolf of Wall Street. Yeah. You ever follow that story? Like he's living a good life. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, it goes on and on, but I think that's the gist of it. So once again, yeah, it's just probably extreme end of the scale on dating. But believe me, and you know, I was off and on dating apps, probably starting with the pandemic period, right? Because I think everybody went on there. It was like, I'm bored. I got nothing to do. Let's see what's going on there. Up until, I don't know, maybe I guess the summer of last year. And it's just, I mean, it's just scam after scam after scam. And some of it, I don't even know. Like, I think in some cases, they're just playing around. Like, people just want to see how far they can go. Like, they're just trolling you.
Yeah. Trolls.
Yeah. But in a few cases, there's no question there was a financial scam involved. So, yeah. I don't know. Dating apps, not good. Probably the in-person approach is better. So, let's wrap it up with... This is a story from Cracked. Like, I'm sure you guys are visiting cracked.com all the time, right?
All the time.
This was from last year. Headline is 13 Reasons It's Probably Time to Get Off Dating Apps. Let's see what you think here. So they're going to go, they're going to count down from number 13. So the first one, which is number 13, it referred to a story. It was a Tennessee woman who was arrested after attempting to hire a hitman to kill the wife of her Match.com date.
Wait, what? Say that again.
A Tennessee woman was arrested after attempting to hire a hitman to kill the wife of her Match.com date. Do you see the problems with this story?
Well, first, yeah, he's cheating, you're saying, right?
Exactly, correct.
And so she's upset. So she's actually, or she wants him.
I was going
so
she to say, she should be hiring the hitman on him. That's he's what
I
married.
Thought. I was like, wait a sec. She's trying to get the woman out of the picture.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a stat from Tinder, I think. It's crazy. It's something like, 15 to 20% of everyone on Tinder is actually married.
Oh my.
I think I've seen that. Yeah. Do you see women looking to TikTok or something to help expose their husband or boyfriend or whatnot that is on Tinder at that moment type of thing? So I think that's pretty common.
That's so sad. Like, this is what we have come to.
Now do you see what I'm talking about, Priscilla?
Yes.
Let's take a quick break for this message from our sponsor.
Picture this. You are a key decision maker at your credit union. Your tellers are tired of the lengthy KYC process, fraud is a constant worry, and onboarding new members feels like a marathon. But what if there was a way to streamline it all? Enter the Sudo platform. Our reusable credential technology transforms the traditional KYC process, reduces fraud, strengthens communication security, and streamlines member onboarding. With Sudo Platform, you can prevent fraud, save time, and create secure digital identities. And the best part? It's built right into your credit union's app. This is more than innovation. It's a commitment to providing your members a rewarding experience. We're live and ready to redefine how you do business. Don't wait. Give your credit union the upgrade it deserves. Identify any member in any channel at any time, all while improving convenience and reducing fraud. To learn more, contact us at sudoplatform.com. That's sudoplatform.com.
So number 12, being defrauded by fake ads. Now, this is common with AI now. A lot of the dating profiles, like these are like fake AI generated images. Right, there's influencers now that have accounts that are not even real people.
Mm-hmm.
And then they charge you to talk to them, talking to an AI person. So the FTC took legal action against Match Group, again, owners of Match.com, and also Tinder and Hinge, for allegedly using fake ads to get people to buy subscriptions to Match.com. They claim that this scam affected hundreds of thousands of people. I can tell you, as somebody who has been on Match, it's very interesting how several times I would let the subscription expire or I would just cancel. And then all of a sudden I start getting notifications in my email that said, oh, so-and-so liked you, Jennifer liked you, Cindy liked you. It just kept going on and on and on. And I'm like, now that I've finally gotten off the app, all of these people now like me. And so I would, once in a while, I take advantage of a great offer. They give you like, oh, 50% off to try it for a month. Like, oh, okay, we'll go back and we'll see who these people were. And it turned out a lot of times their profiles would be gone. Like, and so Match would say something like, oh, you know, we detected fraudulent activity, so we deactivated their profile. Yeah. Right. Because again, these dating apps are, they're really designed for you to stay on them. That's how they make money, right?
Right. Pull you back in.
So they don't want you to find your perfect match.
Yeah, they don't care about that. They want that to happen. So yeah, I'm sure there's a lot more that goes on like this. And it probably depends on too, like, oh, if you haven't been active on the app in a while, we're going to send you some, you know, completely fake profiles and likes.
Right.
So number 11, they mentioned two guys swiping left on self-esteem. So researchers from the University of North Texas discovered that guys tend to have lower self-esteem when they use dating apps like Tinder. I can totally see that. Cause again, you can literally go through thousands of swipes and then maybe 80% of the ones you match with are scammers.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Wow.
Again, you haven't missed anything by not being on the dating apps. Congratulations. Of course, on the, you know, not so great side, the higher incidence of catching diseases. We'll leave it at that. Number 9, getting caught by the authorities. So a woman from Oklahoma bragged to her Bumble match about killing a deer illegally, not knowing that the person she was talking to was a game warden.
What are the chances?
So she got fined $2,400.
Wow.
Oh.
You know what? I think that's a pro of a dating app.
No confessions, please.
That would be funny.
No confessions. Okay, you could get robbed. That's another one mentioned. That on the Columbia one. So a California man met up with a girl he matched with on the dating app, but it didn't go so well. He got robbed at gunpoint by some of her associates. Associates.
Not friends, associates.
Wow. And now, of course, you could get kidnapped. I've heard many stories about this. In 2016, a student at the University of Kansas was arrested for kidnapping and attacking a woman he met on Tinder. He reportedly punched her in the face multiple times and kept her against her will until her facial wounds healed.
Oh, my.
That's just, yeah. Again, you haven't missed anything. Not a good place to be. And they're not cheap either. I think just for 1 month on Bumble, it's like $55 now.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, they get expensive. You, right? They want you to do the annual plan, right? And they bring it down, but.
Play on love.
Yeah. And Tinder has this new platinum feature now. And they've sent me some of these like emails that say, hey, if you sign up for this special super duper platinum thing, it's crazy. It's like $20,000 or something. It's so crazy. Like per month or whatever, 10,000 or five, whatever it is, 2,000.
What do you get?
They claim that you get hand selected special picks, right?
Oh, like matchmaking.
Like, like you've got a real matchmaker, but.
And people will pay it. They want love.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. You prey on people's feelings. But yeah, it was some incredible, insane number. But then they make it feel like, oh, you've been specially chosen.
Right. This is nothing for love.
Yeah. Of course, the scams. Right? A 20-year-old college student has been using her Tinder profile to scam guys out of $5. She tells them to send her money via PayPal and says they'll see what happens if they do.
What? You want to see what happens? You lose $5.
Yeah, it's like the worst magic trick ever.
Yeah.
Watch what happens. It's gone.
And I've had that happen, right? And
you've sent $5?
No, I've not done it. Yeah. Are you kidding me? But they'll have their Cash App or Venmo or, you know, all Zelle, whatever it might be. And it's just like, hey, if you're feeling generous, send me $5. Buy me a cup of coffee or whatever. And I'm like, why? And it works.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Because it's $5. People are like, it's nothing, but it adds up when you start getting all these people sending you $5.
Exactly. In South Korea, some dating app users have said they've been tricked by profiles that only show pictures of the user wearing a mask.
Oh.
So,
what does that even mean?
I think that was because they're too cheap to use AI. I guess.
Oh.
I suppose. And again, more dating and robbing stories. In December 2015, a gang in London used Grindr to find two men and rob them at knife point, leaving the pair very shaken.
Hmm.
Oh, and I mentioned the foodie call stuff. So this is common. Actually, they're saying a guy was doing this. So Paul Gonzalez, known as the Dine and Dash Dater, was given 120 days in jail for conning 10 women out of almost $1,000 between 2016 and 2018. He'd take them out to eat and then just leave without paying the bill.
That's so sad.
So he didn't even hang around.
They could do a movie on that.
Oh, gosh, that is nuts. So number two. Yeah, too offensive. I think we'll skip that one. Probably a good idea.
So you have to say it now.
No, I think we'll leave that one alone.
Okay.
And then finally, the number one is risking capture and torture. A Nevada man who was convicted of holding a woman against her will is now using dating apps to meet people who can help him find new victims, right?
Oh, my.
What?
What? Yeah, that's nuts. He's convicted of holding a woman against her will. Is now using dating apps to meet people who can help him find new victims. That's just nuts.
Wow.
Oh, humanity. But again, it's back to the whole privacy and data security thing. That's why you got to be careful, right?
Yeah.
So are you still on these, Rich?
No, I'm done. I'm off of them. Yeah. It not only is it expensive, but it doesn't really produce any results, you know?
Yeah.
It's a lot of time. It's so time consuming.
Yeah.
And now with AI, I don't know if any of these people are really real.
True.
I mean, it's like social media. You could just keep probably swiping and swiping instead of scrolling and scrolling.
Yeah, it takes advantage of people's, like, you know, because, I mean, let's face it, we talked about this before, but social skills are just kind of declining. People are more introverted. They're at home. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go anywhere. You can watch new movies now at home.
Yeah,
you can get DoorDash, you know, as long as you're not tying anybody up, right? But you don't have to go outside anymore. And now it's like people make friends in their mind just through the internet. Like I've told stories before about people on LinkedIn who they connect with somebody they've never met in person. And then somebody says, hey, I'm short some money. Can you send me some money? And they do. Like you've never met these people, but it's like, that's the new friend today.
Yeah.
It's all online.
The influencer thing too has kind of made people think that.
Yeah.
Like parasocial relationships. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Wow. The other thing that kind of makes me mad about that whole situation is, like, obviously people want love. We're all human.
Yeah.
And they're taking advantage of that.
Exactly.
But I'm forgetting the term, but it's basically like malicious intent with their software because they have an incentive for you not to find love. So you'll keep paying them. So it's like they're almost working against you in a way. They have an incentive to work against you.
Yeah.
But then you have some dating apps that are like, our goal is for you to delete the app. And I'm like, what company was that? I remember seeing an ad for it. Or it was like, we want you to find love. I don't remember where I saw it, but I'm like, hopefully it's true, but I guess that's more straightforward. Like they do want you to find love.
Oh, I think Hinge is the one that tries to market itself as the dating app meant to be deleted.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I have no idea.
But I was on there too. No, scammers.
You deleted it for other reasons.
I definitely did, but oh. Yeah, and dating also is on Instagram, right? A lot of people use Instagram DMing. For dating.
Oh, yeah.
But again, you got to be careful because you can share location information, can't you, on Instagram?
Snap maps.
Yeah, on Snapchat.
Scary Snapchat. Yeah, you can share your location on Snapchat.
I've never heard of that, Snap
Maps. It's called Snap Maps, and you basically share your location with your friends.
Snapchat is the app, and then inside Snapchat is Snap Maps. That just kind of shows.
Like, I don't have my location on, but a ton of my friends do. And I can see, I mean, if someone's traveling to another part of the world, it will show them there. Or I don't know. But then there's people who are crazy and will kind of be like, well, where are they now? And it's, I don't know.
Yeah. It can get toxic.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you want to share your location? I've never understood that.
Right. There can be safety reasons, I think, to share your location and make sure, hey, you're supposed to be somewhere. Did you get there? There's always a positive way to think of things. But then it's like, here's your location. And there's maybe a crazy friend who's watching. Like, you said you were going to be home tonight and you were at the mall. I don't know. I'm just saying, not just a friend approach. And then it's like, if there's a crazy guy who you think is your friend, but then he has your location. It's just like, you never know. So it's interesting.
I think that's a good topic, though, in terms of like, you know, social media in general. I mean, Sydney, what's your social media behavior, if anything? I mean, how do you approach it?
Yeah, so for a while, me and my husband were like collaborating with photographers. So I realized I was sharing a ton of personal info on my personal Instagram that's public. And eventually I was like, why am I doing this? I'm like giving so much information to the like public in hopes that we have like more collaborations. And I went through and deleted a lot of my posts and just deleted full captions because it just made me realize how uncomfortable I was if a stranger or even someone I knew remotely came upon that. They would have, you know, even the happy birthday posts, happy 23rd birthday or whatever, that gives you your exact birthday and stuff. So I try not to do any dates if I'm wishing a friend happy birthday or whatnot. But made a completely new Instagram. I keep my old one up just in case anyone in my life wanted to reach out through there. But I created a whole new Instagram. It's private. It doesn't have my name. Nothing is associated with it. And I only follow the people that I basically don't know, the like fun travel influencers and stuff that I want to see more like a magazine. And I feel so much better about that. And I know no one's really looking for it or can find it. And I feel like it's a much better way to interact with the platform.
Are you careful about accepting requests to connect?
Right now, which I should probably go change this, my other one is public still. Like I said, I deleted a lot of stuff off of it. But I don't allow anyone to follow me back on my other Instagram. Mm.
What about you, Maddie? How's your social media footprint?
Yeah, I mean, I know I've talked about this on another podcast episode, but I wasn't allowed to have social media until college. And then I had Snapchat and then Instagram, I'm private. I only accept people that I know. But since I didn't have it in high school, I mean, it's not as many followers and stuff I would say as like I could have had back then. But it works for me because I just want like my close friends just to see, you know, if I do go on a trip or something. But I probably should be more careful. Like Sydney said, I think I wish people happy birthday and say their age. So I probably shouldn't do that. I mean, even if I am private, you just never know. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm just not that big into social media. So I think it's okay for now, but I probably still should be more careful.
And the other thing, going back to the social interactions, is because my friends now know that I don't use my Instagram, they don't even have my one that I use privately. They actually just text me their things now. Yeah, so nice. I receive texts of where they are, their travel photos, and it allows me to have like a closer relationship to them rather than them posting on their story for everyone to see. So they know they actually have to like tell me when things happen, and it's created a better conversation, I think.
Yeah, that's true. My friend sends, she doesn't have social media, and she will send us like photos for our birthday of like our favorite photos together and stuff. And I feel like that's still fun because it's supposed to be for each other anyway, not for everyone to see. So I think that is a good thing to add. Yeah.
Has anybody ever had any issues with, I don't know, we call it cyber stalking or just weirdos or harassment maybe online that you had to fix?
Not harassment, but there's always going to be some weird guy that will go into your DM, or they start normal as like friends in high school, then they send you something weird and you're like, okay, you're done.
Yeah.
Are people coming back like looking for where you are online? Like somebody you went to high school with?
I'm trying to think. Maybe like once or twice I've had something weird like that. But I mean, thankfully, like I said, I'm private too, and I've tried to be careful with, I mean, I'll definitely get some weirdos trying to follow me, and you can just tell it's like the profile picture is like, I'll buy you anything you want. Like that's the bio. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, you always get that.
Yeah, like it just can't be more fake, you know, like you, it's no followers. They don't follow anyone, but they want to follow you. Like just the fakest thing. But no, thankfully nothing too crazy, but there's definitely always people who will try to DM you.
Yeah.
And you can just say no politely and...
Or just say no.
Ends there.
Yeah. So I did have somebody create a fake Instagram for me, like of me, I guess. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And that was before I had social media. So my friend actually found it and was like, did you get a social media account on Instagram? I'm like, no. And it was me and my sister hugging, had 70 posts. It was private, so I couldn't see. And it said like, best twins ever. And like all this stuff, like we had said that about ourselves. And the profile picture was from my mom's Facebook. So I mean, my mom's not like the best with technology, so I'm not even sure if she was private. But yeah, I had no idea what the posts were. And
for
like,
sure, it was just someone being a bully, I think.
Yeah. And then our friend tried to, you know, follow it or have them, and they wouldn't, of course, accept, because I think they knew we were friends. But that was probably the scariest thing, because I couldn't even see what they were posting.
Right.
And it said like 70 posts or something.
Wow.
And I'm like, why? I don't even have Instagram. I'm like, why is someone doing this?
My friend had a fake social or fake dating profile made of her, and it used her real name, real photo. And it literally said, like, I'm this age. This is where I live.
No.
I'm creating this for my friend. And go ahead, and it gave her Instagram and said, go and DM me on there if you're interested.
So and she was getting DMs.
Oh,
no. Yeah, she started getting this flood of DMs, and she didn't understand. And no one to this day has fessed up to who did it. Because we didn't know if it was malicious.
Yeah, or just some...
Or...
Funny, but
yeah,
not funny.
And it was so bizarre. So...
You just have to have so much free time on your hand to make a troll account and be that malicious to have 70 posts about someone else. Like... It is ridiculous. I think social media can bring out the worst in people because they can hide behind this platform, you know?
Well, it says somebody about someone's mindset if they're going to go do that too.
Right.
Like that's got to be an unstable individual.
And they're right. Like you'll never know. No one's going to fess up to making accounts or things like that, but it's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess as we wrap up, any other stories maybe to underscore the importance of keeping a low profile online before we call this one a wrap?
Yeah, so I actually had this story too. It was kind of scary with my sister again. And we had gone to a bagel place by our house, and it was raining, and so we were trying to run inside quick. And I opened the door for someone just to be nice, you know, as you should, and to this man. And, you know, he came in. I didn't say one word to him. He said thanks. You know, I thought it was done after that. And he, like, we ate whatever, me and my sister ate the bagels, we left, and as we were driving home, I feel like I am a paranoid person, but me and my sister were talking, so I wasn't noticing as much if someone was following us. But then, like, our neighborhood is a little windy, so I'm saying to get there, I'm like, man, this car has been following us for a while. And I do get in my head sometimes, so me and my sister are like, is it though, or whatever. So we started doing weird turns, and yeah, it kept following us. So then we didn't know what to do. We were freaking out. So we kind of went into like our driveway, but just on the side, like we were just maybe not living there, but like a friend or something. And the car, it was like a big van, of course, stereotypical. It freaking blocked us in. And like, it wouldn't let us like move. And he rolled down his window and he was like, hey, like he was older too, probably 40s or 50s. He's like, you guys are cute. Like, want to get in my car? Like literally stereotypical thing. And like, I was calling my mom because I didn't want her to come home in case, you know, because then it would just be three girls. And, you know, we were freaking out and we're like, no, we don't, like, leave us alone. We just like cracked the window to say that. But he blocked us in. We couldn't drive anywhere. I'm like, should we just drive through his car? Like, we seriously were like, what should we do and stuff? And he's like, no, like, you know, do you guys have boyfriends? Like, come on. We would have so much fun and stuff. And there was like two guys in there. And it was probably one of the scariest things that's ever happened to me. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, you know, and he's like, come on, like, add us on like social media and like all this stuff. And I'm like, you're. And it's hard because, like, I know my dad after is like, why did you even talk to them? Yes, I don't know why we even talked back. But, right. Like, there was nothing else we could do. So we were trying to diffuse the situation. We're like, no, thank you. Nope. Nope. And then it started getting to the point that
escalated,
we're like,
it.
Yeah, we're like, okay, now we're not going to answer back. But it was so scary. Finally, they drove off. And we were so scared to even go, I'm saying, into our house.
Because I don't want them.
So we hurried and went in the garage, closed it. And then, you know, our mom came home. She was freaking out and stuff. But we couldn't, like, call the police or anything because technically they didn't really do anything, I guess.
Right.
But it's just scary. Like, you have to be aware. And I was like, I don't even know. It was just scary. So I'm saying that's just a crazy, like, stalkery thing. Not maybe online specifically, but still having to be aware of your surroundings. And that just has to be online, too. I'm saying sometimes you don't think that, you know, someone else is watching you or looking at your things, but they are. And that's why I'm like, I literally opened the door for you.
Right.
I did not. And then they made this whole thing in their head that they're like, no, like, we would have fun. Like, you guys, this, this, and this. I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't even know who you are. Like,
yeah.
So
this is what happens when you hold the door open. Like,
yeah, like, you try to be nice, I
be
guess.
Be polite. I swear. You just get stalker.
But wow. It does. It's a good point, though, because the thing is today, most of those stalking issues do start online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you,
and they finally, they see you and then they think they know you so well. And correct. They're like, no, I know you just went to like Tahiti last week. I know your mom, Sherry, like I'm saying, like whatever. And you're like, who are you?
I think that's such a good comparison though, because, you know, when someone's physically stalking you, following you when you're driving around, like that's, you know, you have an alert
you
in your mind.
You notice it quicker.
Like, you notice that you're physically scared. But online, like you said, people could be stalking your profile left and right. And just because you physically can't see them, it's like you have to be aware what you're putting out for people to do that.
Yeah.
Maybe they're physically not following you, but it's the same concept. Ooh, that's freaky.
It was freaky. I was like stressed after that driving, like,
wow,
anywhere. I was like, are they following me? And then I go somewhere else and they just go in their neighborhood. And I go,
they say if you ever are getting followed, though, never go to your house.
I
like
know.
In the future, like, go to a police station, drive to a public
well, we are ready, yeah.
place. I mean, of course, after it, in that moment, you're scared. Like, you don't know what to do. You're young and you're just driving. But if people are listening to this and you ever get followed, don't go to your house, even if you're in your neighborhood. Go to a police station if you can, or like a Target, or just somewhere in public, you know, somewhere that's safe that you can, you know what I mean? So they don't have a track of where you are.
Yeah.
Wow. My friend Kennedy had a similar situation to that where her boyfriend was driving her car because they had left his car at her house. And they pulled into the driveway and were just chatting. It's like 2 a.m. They had gone out to the bar or whatever. And they see this car pull up in the driveway blocking them in.
Yes.
And the person got out of the car.
Oh.
They opened the back door that was facing her house and they started walking up to her. So they knew where she lived. They had obviously been watching her house. And then what else would you be opening up the back seat for? And so the guy walked up and he sees that her boyfriend is driving, not like my friend.
Yeah.
And so then they just book it back to their car and drive away.
Wow.
But it was one of those situations where
I just got chills. Like, that's terrifying.
They were seriously watching her pretty closely to know her car and when she was going to be home and that she was sitting in her driveway. And she had no idea who it was, but it totally could have started from social media.
Yeah. Right. Posting where you are. And
Wow. You know, that's also, then we got to wrap up here on time. We're running long on time, but the whole like smart home thing, There's some sophisticated hackers that can hack into your smart home system.
Right.
And they can follow patterns to know when you're there and you're not.
Like because, with work or.
Yeah. Because they can see your electricity usage. They can see what devices you're using. Anything that's connected to the internet. And it's becoming more prevalent. Like it's easier to hack into than you would think.
Yeah.
And there's been experiments that have shown just how easy it is.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are buying these devices and everybody doesn't have their own IT department, and security and compliance team, which you probably would need if you want to have a smart home, to be honest with you. But yeah, that brings up another issue, like people just watching your behaviors and figuring out when you're going to be certain places. That's why it's a good idea too for safety to shake things up a little bit so you don't have a routine that's predictable. Yeah. Anyway, any other stories?
No.
Words of advice?
Stay safe out there.
Yeah. Well,
be aware.
Yeah. You kind of said it well. There is a way to do it. People know how to. They'll find a way in. They'll hack. They'll do whatever. So you just have to be aware and do what you can. And that kind of sounds scary because it's like if someone's going to, stalk you or find you, it's like there's only so much you can do. So you should be as careful as you can on your own end of things and just try to be aware.
Yep. Keep a low profile online. Watch your digital exhaust.
Trust your gut.
And use my pseudo.
And use my VPN, pseudo, yeah.
Use a password manager. Yeah. Do whatever you have to do.
There's things out there to keep you safe and people need to use them.
Okay, cool. Well, I appreciate your time. Chrisula, Sydney, Maddie, we'll do this again very soon.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you.
And hopefully it won't be as depressing. I'll try to create a story with a little bit more of a positive twist if that's possible.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you all later. Thanks.
Thanks.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Privacy Files. In our next episode, we'll be speaking with Mark Nichols, partner and CEO at Information Professionals Group in Australia. Mark is a seasoned veteran of the cyber and information security industry and helps companies implement effective cyber governance programs that keep them safe. Until next time, don't forget, privacy is a human right.